This is Spin Control, a Fibercraft podcast by A Joyful Girl. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spin Control, episode 152, Sunshiny Day. In this episode, I've got some travel knitting and spinning and a little tale for you about making the best of a bad situation and turning it into a sunshiny day. But of course, we'll kick this off with some updates. So since we last spoke, I traveled to Maryland for a long weekend. I typically like to go up on Thursday and come back on Monday to really avoid the weekend travel traffic because there's like a lot more people flying on like Friday and Sunday. And it just gives me time to not be completely exhausted at the event. So that's pretty cool. I had a good time. So for the last few years, there's been rain at Maryland Sheep and Wool on the days of the event. This year was no different. However, we pretty much stand in line at 8:30 in the morning and wait for the gates to open so we can go in first thing and kind of beat the lunchtime crowds and that sort of thing so that we're not really battling the worst of the heat or the weather and that kind of thing. So we like to be there when the gates open to make sure we see everything without the place getting completely slam-packed with people like it does every single year, usually by 11, 12, 1, it's like completely overrun with people and it's super packed and busy. And by then we're ready for lunch and, you know, but we've already, you know, shopped and saw and done all the things. So yeah, the first day we got there when the gates opened and the weather was absolutely beautiful. I think we left the venue around 2 p.m., and it was just starting to sprinkle, like barely. Like, oh, did you feel a drop on your face? Yeah, I did. Okay, good thing. We're on our way to the parking lot. Like, that's how it was for us. Unfortunately, there were several vendors who got completely clobbered. There was like a flash storm that included like some flash flooding and just rapid, rapid water everywhere. There was a ceramics vendor who lost a bunch of stock when the wind blew through her tent. She was an outdoor vendor. And there were just a lot of situations like that. A bunch of yarn got wet. People lost product. Overall, I don't think it lasted very long. Like, we weren't in the thick of it, but there's a ton of videos about it on various groups and stuff and on Instagram and Facebook. So if you're interested in seeing that, it was crazy. And I'm so glad that we were not in the middle of all of that. And of course, if I'm going to travel all the way to Maryland, I'm going to go to both days. So day two was more of what we're used to when it comes to event weather. It kind of drizzled most of the time we were there, but I had my trusty poncho. I stayed dry. There were like a handful of vendors that were just too packed by the time we made it to them on the first day that we wanted to make sure we had a chance to get in there and see what they were offering this year and new colorways and things like that. So we made our rounds. And my Tanya actually was having an issue with her mini spinner. So she made an appointment to see the folks at Hanson Craft to get it checked out. And she apparently needs like a new part and they're going to get that taken care of for her. But she's been troubleshooting that. It was really awesome that she was able to see them in person and that they were able to help her out before, you know, the show got packed again. I'm really thankful we made it back for the second day. There are definitely some vendors that I love to see every single year. And I'm 100% a sucker for the show colorway because I think we all know that I have a lot of fiber and yarn in my stash. And I really like to patronize vendors when I can, if they have, you know, colors that I can appreciate, even if it's just buying a skein of sock yarn, which is how I ended up with the substantial amount of sock yarn that I will definitely not live long enough to knit through. But that's a whole different story. But yeah, so every year I make my way to Miss Babs and see what her show colorways are, which was really cool. And I got a couple skeins of that in sock yarn, of course. And then this year, for the first time, Into the World actually had show colorway yarn and fiber for this event, which is pretty awesome. I talked with them about it last year at the event. It was really cool to see that they actually followed through with it, which is really cool. But because one of the reasons they hadn't done show colorways in the past is because they didn't want it to be exclusive. They wanted everybody to have the chance to get it. So if you're interested, they're doing pre-orders on their website for the show colorway for Maryland Sheep and Wool. And it's really beautiful. And I'm glad I was able to get some. I only got the sock yarn. I actually had to order the fiber online because apparently someone like walked in the door first thing on Sunday morning and bought all of the colorway and fiber that they had held back for Sunday. So they had kind of split their inventory for the colorway. Yeah. And I totally missed out on that, but I did get a skein of sock yarn in the colorway and then went ahead and pre-ordered some on their website, like literally while I was standing there in the booth, because I wanted to make sure I didn't forget. But that was cool. Another thing they did this year that they haven't done in the past was they marked their new colorways, which was really cool. So I was happy to see that because I think I've seen Into the World at a dozen or more different festivals and events. And I find myself drawn to the exact same colorways. This year it was so much easier to look through and see what I had and didn't have because I knew exactly what was new and that they hadn't offered in previous years, which was really great. And I appreciated that greatly. Yeah, we had a great Maryland Sheep and Wool. It was awesome to get a nice long weekend. It was great to have the greatest corn dogs in all the land 2 days in a row for lunch. That was pretty great. Yeah, it was fantastic. I had a great long weekend and I'm so glad that I was fortunate enough to be able to go that this year. And there isn't a whole lot else going on. This weekend is Mother's Day weekend, and I'm definitely going to get the chance to see the girls. The boy and I are headed to Fort Collins. It's kind of like a central location for everybody. Well, not really for us. We as the parents, will have to drive the furthest. But we're going to go up there, spend the day, have lunch. There's some really great yarn stores in Fort Collins, Colorado. Like My Sister Knit, Loopy U used to be located in Fort Collins, but now they're in a town really close by in Loveland. So if that's in close proximity, I may stop at the Loopy U as well. But I'm definitely going to see. I heard that there was a brand new yarn store in Fort Collins, but I have absolutely no idea what the name of it is. So I'm going to have to do a little research and see if I can find it. That'd be pretty cool. But I'm definitely going to make it to the ones I'm familiar with. And I will let you know how that goes. And we're going to have lunch and probably stop by a few local breweries and that kind of thing. So it should be a good time. Just kind of a day trip with the puppies, of course. So it should be interesting. And I almost forgot, the boy had surgery this past week. And it was minor surgery. He's had a kidney stone literally since December that has failed to resolve. And they finally just went in and took it out, which is awesome. But he was down for a couple of days and we just hung out and that's over and he is recovering well. And he actually went back to work. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, looks like that's all I got going on in updates. So I guess it's time to get this podcast started. In this edition of Spin a Tale, I am going to talk to you about sunshiny days. I guess I'm forcing sunshiny days. I am over here making the best out of a bad situation. I am out of work for the first time in many years, and it's kind of voluntarily, but kind of not. So it's a really complex situation. But it's been actually just after I recorded my last episode, I left my organization. So yeah. This is how all that went down. I had every intention of like sticking it out and fighting for my position. And I was super confident that when it came to rankings that they do and reductions of force, that I would be one of the folks that had a really good chance of not being riffed and losing my position involuntarily. However, the week before I decided to voluntarily leave the organization, I found out that I don't have veterans preference in a RIF. And because of my veteran status, I'm not eligible for severance pay. And I found out that because of the return to work, that my new office was going to be in Denver, which with traffic would have meant adding 3 to 4 hours of commute time to my schedule every day. And that's just something that at this stage of my life, I just can't do. I just can't. That's a lot. I'm not an up and comer who's fighting for rank and climbing the ladder. No, that's not me. I just can't do that. And the fact that I had no seniority, no preference for RIF, and no option for severance pay if I were to get let go, I had to choose an option that was actually made the most sense for my family. I'm participating in a voluntary program that allowed me to leave but keep my benefits through September, which is great because I won't lose my benefits before September, which is awesome. And it gives me time to figure out what I'm going to do in the next phase of my life. So yeah, while I'm trying to figure that out and looking at other options for employment and those sorts of things, I'm really trying to make the best out of this bad situation. There are so many things I've been talking about doing for years, and I've had a million excuses or the lack of time to not do them. And yeah, those roadblocks have kind of all been taken away. I now have 40 hours a week that I can invest in getting some of those things accomplished without interfering and completely uprooting the lives of my family. And I'm getting pretty excited about that. I mean, okay, so I haven't forgotten how to sew. I've just forgotten a lot about how to sew because I'm super out of practice. This is an opportunity for me to spend maybe an hour a day in the craft room relearning the basics of how to sew a bag, a garment, what have you, and remembering how, you know, all the features and functions of my sewing machine. I'm going to take this opportunity. I'm going to do that. I'm going to reteach myself how to sew. The boy bought me a serger 5-6 years ago, and I've never used it except to play around and experiment. I should learn how to use my serger. That would be really cool. Yeah, I've got all those patterns that I've been wanting to reformat and re-release because I laid them out and started that before I had really a brand identity or anything like that for my own design efforts. So it's time to do that. And I have no excuse not to do it. I've got that extra 40 hours a week. Also, there's a lot of things I just need to finish. I found a postage stamp quilt project, if you remember from 1,000 years ago, that I never finished. All the pieces are cut, and I intended to hand sew and hand quilt the entire project. It's neatly in a box. All of the squares are like organized in the way I want them laid out. And I just haven't done it. I haven't had the time to do it. I need to finish that project. I also have created a prototype for a yarn tool that I need to finish. I got the first prototype done. I decided what I wanted to do for changes. And then I just never got the second version done. I got it all worked out in InDesign and just actually never fabricated the second tool. So I should do that. I should 100% finish that project. I also have so much alpaca fiber, like more alpaca fiber and fleece in my stash than I will ever, ever, ever be able to spin myself. I need to select a handful of fleece to keep myself and then list the remainder of them for sale. And I also have like seconds and thirds that are just taking up room that I need to sell or use. They'll make great bird nesting material. My understanding is it's an awesome material to use as mulch in your garden. I can't use it all, but I can 100% list it and sell it to other people who are looking for that because I have an overabundance. And yeah, it's just taking up space. So that's what I am doing to try to make the best of this bad situation is I'm trying to turn it into a bright, sunshiny day and make the best of this situation so that I can get the most out of this time that I've been given and figure out what I want to do when I grow up. So I'm unemployed. I left my federal job. It's a little scary. So the office was super weird and uncomfortable and scary and just extremely uneasy for probably the 2 months before I left the organization. My Tanya actually works in the same office and she's keeping me posted. and it's no better now than it was when I left. Well, of course, I haven't been gone that long. I believe the head of our organization has publicly stated that by mid-May, which is like next week or the week after, that the plans for the reduction in force and reorganization of that agency will be published and finalized. So folks will find out whether or not they're being reduced, reorganized, relocated. And it's been a very long time, and they have not provided any information internally on what the plan is and how it's going to be executed. A lot of people may be asked to literally leave the state that they live in to accommodate the reorganization. And that's really scary. A lot of people, like, I couldn't just pack up and move right now if I was asked to for my job, to keep my job. And I know a lot of people are in that same situation, but they're kind of, I don't know, stuck, or, you know, they just have situations in their lives that make it impossible and unrealistic for them to relocate at the drop of a hat or within a couple of months, because families and kids and houses and all the things that go along with just packing up and leaving an area. So I'm glad I walked away voluntarily. And hopefully the fact that I left voluntarily means that there are people in my organization who will not be asked involuntarily to leave, because I have opened up a space that may have been reduced. So that's kind of what I'm hoping. I'm not the only person who took this voluntary option. And I think a lot of us had that kind of mentality. Like, my odds of getting retained were really, really low. So if I were to walk away, maybe that would help someone else not get riffed. So yeah, trying to make the best out of this crazy situation, and I will keep you posted on how everything else unfolds. In this edition of Spinning My Wheels, I am happy to report that all of the things that I had planned, for the most part, for my travel projects actually came about. They came to fruition. I'm really proud of myself. As I was traveling, like on the plane, I cast on a hat that I was talking about knitting. But instead of choosing one of the National Park hats, I actually chose to cast on, it's another Nancy Bates colorwork hat, but this one is out of her book, Knitting California. And I cast on and finished the California Poppies hat. So I'm really pleased. The only thing I actually have left to do is there's some duplicate stitching on the flowers and the stems of the flowers to give it a little bit more depth. And I have to finish that up, but the rest of it's done. I cast on, I bound off, I did all the color work, I even wove in my ends. And the last thing I have to do is finish that duplicate stitching, and then the project's finished. So I'm super happy about that. I also took with me a pair of socks that I made or attempted to make on the sock machine before I left. All I had, or all I thought I had left on that project, was to graft the toes. And I thought that'd be something super easy and quick I could do on the plane. But yeah, it turned out that on one of the socks, I had forgotten to do a section, which is the pre-heel. And on the other sock, I actually had some drop stitches because I was struggling with my machine when I was executing that first sock, and it really gave me a hard time. But I had drop stitches that I didn't even notice because they hadn't laddered. But, well, I ripped those two socks back, and then actually over the last 2 days, I have re-knit them on the machine. And one of my goals for that pair of socks was to try Knit Picks Stroll Tweed. So back in the day, I made the boy a pair of socks. It's one of the earliest pairs of socks that I made him out of Knit Picks Essential Tweed. And that yarn has held up like you wouldn't believe. I actually machine wash and dry those socks, and they look just as good as they did the day that I finished them. And I'm really hoping that this stroll actually holds up the same way. It seems to have the same yardage and fiber content as the essential did. And so I'm kind of hoping that it behaves the same way and it lasts just as long. So I'm going to put this new pair of socks through its paces and compare the two and see how the new stroll compares to the essential sock yarn that Knit Picks had available when I first started knitting. So that's pretty cool. I hope that turns out, and I will let you know how that goes. Because yeah, I think that the Knit Picks Essential actually has held up better than any other sock yarn that I've used since I started knitting. So I'm hoping that this one is super equivalent so that we can have long wearing socks for people like the boy who put his socks through torture. It's not that bad. So what else did I do? I also cast on the Leyburn socks like I had planned. However, right this second, I am sitting in front of a tangled rat's nest of yarn and untangling it so that I can cast on the sock again and start again. Because apparently our oldest dachshund does not understand the difference between a ball of yarn or a cake of yarn and a ball that he can play with. And I made the terrible mistake of setting down my knitting bag without zipping the top closed when I went to take a shower today. I had the foot of the sock more than halfway done. I'd say 3/4 of the way done. And I was super pleased with the way the pattern was working and all of that. And I have to restart because he really tore it apart. But it was fine. So I was a little concerned about the sock pattern and the stitch pattern and being able to work her stitch pattern over the size of sock that I wanted. But when I really, really read the pattern, look at me reading the pattern in its entirety, I discovered that one of the things that she did on the foot was she seems to prefer the patterning of the stitches to go further across the top of the foot than you see in most patterns. Most patterns I've seen, it's literally like 50-50. The way she had it written, it was more like a 60-40, so that it went further across. But by the time you get to the ankle, the stitch count was super duper similar to what I would wear on my foot. So I just skipped her instructions, made sure the math would work out, and just cast on for my 72 stitches. I used a Turkish cast on and did the sock toe up as it was written, except instead of doing the 40-60 split on instep stitches versus sole stitches, I just went straight for the 50-50, and the patterning worked out perfectly. And I'm really happy with it. It's super easy to memorize, so it's really a perfect travel or, you know, restaurant or friends and family kind of knitting pattern, because you can read it really easily and you can execute it very easily. It is a quilted lattice stitch. So if you wanted to look that up, it's actually not an uncommon stitch and it's worked over 6 stitches. So you worked out really easily with my 72 stitch foot. And I can't wait to cast it on again because I was really enjoying knitting it until the puppy got a hold of it and kind of didn't tear it apart. He actually did not break any of the yarn. He just really made a mess of the cake. That's okay. If I didn't like knitting that sock, that would have been like my sign to just reball the yarn and abandon it. But I do actually enjoy the sock and I can't wait to have that pair. What else? The only other real thing I've got going on in terms of spinning my wheels is I'm doing 27 things a day in the craft room. When the boy and I decided that I was going to voluntarily leave my position, I was trying to decide the things I was going to tackle first. You know what I mean? To get myself on track for making the most of this time. And he said, please, if nothing else, you have to clean the craft room so you can use it. If you do not clean it, you will not use it. And he is absolutely 100% right. So I'm spending probably the rest of this coming week and the craft room will be clean and ready to actually be productive in. And I'm excited about that. I don't have any other big plans, except I've got to finish that pearl coat sweater before the first week in June, because that's when I will see the Knit Girls for the Estes Park Wool Market. And yeah, so I've like finished a sweater every year for the last 3 years, and I've been knitting them based on their recommendations. So the first one was the Weekender, the second one was the Felix Pullover, and then the third one is Pearl Coat. So I need to get this one finished so they can tell me which pattern to start for the next year. But I'm stoked. And yeah, that's really all I got going on. I have been on another tailspin. I took a little pause from my serial cop dramas and stepped away from Law and Order for a minute, for like 8 episodes, and started watching a new show. We started and finished, it's only 8 episodes, of The Residence, which is a Netflix original produced by Shondaland, and it's hilarious. It is described as an American comedy drama mystery. It was really, really well written. It is a murder mystery that takes place in the presidential residence at the White House. And it is, oh, super funny. It is inspired by the book, The Residence Inside the Private World of the White House, by Kate Anderson Brower. And it's just super funny. It's only 8 episodes. I'm really sad because there's not going to be another one because it's called The Residence, and it is a story about what happens in the residence for this one murder mystery. So it's not like there's going to be a season two. If there was, they probably have, I think they'd have to totally call it something different. But anyway, it is hilarious. It's just so well written. The comedy and the mystery is so creatively written and executed, and it's fast-paced and punchy, and it was just a thrill to watch, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I highly recommend that if you haven't seen The Residence, and if you have Netflix, that you should check it out. It was a lot of fun. Well, it looks like it is time to spin off this episode of Spin Control in the weeks to come. I've got some more travel, some more adventures. Remember how I said in the last episode that I think that spring is finally here and, the weather's just going to stay warm? I was wrong. I got back from Maryland Sheep and Wool on Monday, and on Tuesday we had 2 inches of snow at my house. Can't believe it. It was May. May. We're getting snow in May. It's ridiculous. This weekend for Mother's Day is supposed to be absolutely beautiful up in Fort Collins, where we are headed. So I look forward to that and seeing the girls and shopping at the local yarn shops. And then the next thing you know, we're going to have some holidays around the corner, right? So we've got Memorial Day, Labor Day, Independence Day, and just so many other things coming up with the spring and summer in our midst. I am going to lead us out this week with a song that is absolutely perfect for the title of this episode and the theme. And that is I Can See Clearly Now by Johnny Nash. And as always, you can get the details about this episode and all the past episodes at spincontrolpodcast.com. You can email me at shiloh@foreverhandmade.com and catch me on Ravelry and Instagram as Forever Handmade. Thanks again, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, 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 bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be bright, 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 sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be we'll be right back.